You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout Sales Event is on. Lease the 2019 Qashqai S for zero down from $279 a month at 3.6% APR for 64 months. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Final hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and now up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Double shot for the Toronto teams tonight. The Leafs are in action. The Raptors are in action. I feel better about the Raptors. Both teams are underdogs. The Raps are short, you know, a bunch of players. Lowry's out, Ibaka's out, Ananobi's out. They're about three-point dogs in Portland tonight. But I think what they have proven is don't ever question their resolve, their ability to fight. They're going to show up tonight. Yeah. Like, they almost feel, and I know this is going to be a jinx, but they almost feel blowout proof. Like, they're just going to battle, and they're going to stay in the game.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean they're not going to lose games. They're going to lose games, but I can't picture too many, you know, throw out the reserves. They're down 25 with 5 minutes to go.
It'll happen, but it's not going to happen like you think. Like you say, I think they're a battler team. I think Nick Nurse knows how to press buttons and keep guys fresh and motivated.
Yeah. Oh, he's done a spectacular job.
He really has, yeah.
You guys see Michael Bradley was closing out, you know, his season with TFC, and he spoke with the media. You see how long his press conference was?
I did not.
You put a number down.
I'll say an hour and 10 minutes.
No. 26 minutes.
43 minutes.
That's impressive, though.
43 minutes Michael Bradley sat there and spoke with the media.
But yeah, well, there's a lot of questions. Contract coming back.
Okay, what? There's 5 minutes.
Yeah, I guess
what
so.
Else do you have?
Wow.
Like, what is he saying for 43 minutes?
I don't know. He must have gone on some tales on him, about, like, his own tales.
But was that a scrum or was that individually?
Individual.
Because sometimes you can pull guys aside. Like, you sometimes sit after the main scrum is done and BS individually. If he thinks that maybe there's a chance he's not coming back, you want to do it right and you know, you're respectful to the media and you have a relationship with them. You might want to give them each 3 or 4 minutes, you know, to thank them and have a conversation so that they get their nuggets moving forward. I like that and respect
that.
Oh,
I've got all the respect in the world for it. I mean, clearly there were more and more questions coming and he was giving detailed answers. But I think if you go to TSN.ca, he's just up on the podium for 43 minutes talking about his career here, where he wants to come back. He's made it very clear.
Right.
He wants to be back. I think TFC would like to bring him back. It's a matter of whether or not they can find a number, find the term. I mean, you know how contracts work.
Right.
And maybe another team comes out of the blue and goes, we want to bring you in and we want you to be the leader for our young team.
Yeah, that would be, right. If I was a player, that would be the instructions to my agent. Like it here, blah, blah, blah. But if somebody else wants to come over the top, we're listening. Just to say you can knock it out of the park for one last, which might not become available to him.
But it could be leverage.
Sure.
You know, if TFC really wants it, you say, listen, I know you're willing to give me $1 million. These guys will give me $1.5 million. Can
Patrick
you match?
Patrick Marleau.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I could stick around for one, but hey, guess what? Toronto wants three.
How about Ilya Kovalchuk right now dealing with the Patrick Marleau situation? He's got a year and a half left on his deal at 6.5. It's the same contract. It's a
ridiculous contract. Signing him was ridiculous. And they're paying for the desperation will lead you down a road of destruction at times because that's what happened. And he can't play. He couldn't play last year. And now they got a mess on their hands. And it's just.
Yeah, I did that LA game last week. Non-factor. Not fast enough to keep up with the league now.
Oh. Everyone, it's been 15 years
he's
ago.
He's got a bomb for a shot. Bomb for a shot. But like.
Can't play.
Unless you're a specialist on the power play and stand there like Ovi and they work it to you, 5-on-5 and anything else. Like Todd McClellan, I think it slid through the cracks because we don't pay that much attention to what goes on out west, especially in LA right now. Todd McClellan had a quote about 2 weeks ago and said, on this road trip, we got to figure out if some of these guys who are on, been around here for a while, can still play in this league.
Yeah, and some young guys that
young
also
guys
can't
who
play.
Like they. It looked like, and it was shaped like, oh, we got to figure out if these young guys can play. But to me, it was a direct shot at guys like Kovalchuk going, like, this guy's got a contract, and I don't think he can play in the league anymore.
Well, here's your first example of who he was talking about. right. Kovalchuk. I guess, who else are you talking about? Dustin Brown?
No, Brown hasn't been a problem there. Neither has Jeff Carter. Like, guys like that. To me, Jeff Carter still has value. I know Winnipeg's kind of
got another year or two left on his deal,
though. 2 years at 5'2".
Yeah, he played well
after
in Toronto.
This one.
Yes, but he's a good player.
Yeah, someone will take him.
I would. Like, he's a
someone
two.
Will take him.
He's a second-line center at 34 years old, though.
Yeah.
But he can still skate, and he can still shoot the puck. Like, that's somebody who I'd be fishing around if I was
injury
a team
prone,
with the,
though, man. He's had some injuries.
Yeah.
But I got to be honest. Like, Kovalchuk, listen, you get paid. You're supposed to perform. I think he's trying. I think he would like to. But I think you look back on it now, he's like, man, I can get 6.5 a year and go play in L.A., live in L.A.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll take it.
They owe him $10 million
right.
real cash.
And he's not going to do them any favors.
Yeah.
Like, people are like, well, maybe he's going to work out a settlement and leave. Why would he do that?
No.
I'd be like, hey, listen, I don't care if I don't play. I'm living in L.A.
You post
just
up
make
on,
sure you pay me the cash.
Yeah, post up on Huntington Beach,
oh.
And you live your life there. It's better than the KHL.
Absolutely.
Tell you that. I've been in that league.
Well, in Russia, it's the same temperature up here.
Yeah.
You pay me 6.5 to live in L.A. and not have to do anything?
Exactly.
That sounds like a pretty good gig.
Yeah, I'll take it every day of the week.
Absolutely. All right, so this story broke yesterday, Ken Rosenthal on The Athletic, about sign stealing in baseball and electronic sign stealing in baseball. And Houston is the main character in this, the Astros being the main characters in this, that they had cameras in the stands. They had different signals that they were giving to their players when they were stealing signs. Stealing signs has been happening forever.
Yeah, just when you throw in the term electronic.
Yeah, yeah. It's new age.
It makes it that much worse.
Yeah, it's like a WikiLeaks type of operation. To chat about that, amongst some other things, here is longtime MLB pitcher, MLB network analyst, the pride of British Columbia,
yes,
Ryan Dempster. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, guys. How are we doing, Steven?
We're doing well. We're fascinated with this story. As a pitcher yourself, how often did you feel like other teams were stealing your signs?
From time to time, for sure. Whether that's somebody on second base relaying it in. I was smart enough to understand that playing with guys who were very good at whether you were tipping or a catcher was lazy, you know, opening his leg and you're at first base to be able to steal second, or maybe not going through a good sequence when you have a runner at second base to be able to do that. So I was always kind of aware of it. I just, it's always just kind of been a part of the game, and understood that, hey, the guys might be doing this, and you got to come up with more creative ways to do that. But this is taking it to a whole another level, yet something I'm not surprised at all about.
Can you take us through the process of what was going on in Houston, how complex it was, and how it would filter from a camera to the bench to the players and then ultimately to the hitter after that?
Yeah, I'm still reading and finding out details exactly what was going on, but there appeared to be some sort of quick electronic system that would get the pitch. They would find a sequence and find and understand and know what pitch was coming and relay that, and then that would get into the dugout, and then those guys would figure out a way, whether that was whistling, clapping, banging a trash can, whatever it was, to be able to get that relayed to the hitter. And, when you start opening up the dugouts to putting iPads in dugouts and Apple Watches, all these kind of things, and the reality is that stuff like that's going to happen. Everybody's always been looking for an edge, from way back when Ty Cobb was sharpening his spikes, take a guy out of second base to guys greasing the ball up or scuffing the ball and batters corking their bats or guys taking steroids. It's always been something guys have been trying to do, and you have to figure out a way to combat that. Now you live in an electronic age where you can find out information very, very quickly and pass that along, and some teams are a step ahead on that kind of stuff.
With Ryan Dempster, can you take us through the process of when you're on the mound and how you pick up that someone is stealing your signs? In other words, if a guy goes down and gets a pitch and you're like, there's no way he should have hit that. Like, is that what it is? How would you know, okay, these guys know what's coming here?
Yeah, I think it's – I don't think it's necessarily one instance. Sometimes that just happens, right? A guy sitting on a certain pitch and he gets it. Or a guy, gets lucky. Or – he just happens to be taking and he spits on a really good slider or changeup in the dirt. You're like, what? How'd you take that? I think it's an accumulative thing. So as it happens and goes along in the game, you, your catcher, your pitching coach, your manager, guys on the bench, like, hey, they got something. Something's going on. So there's ways to combat that. And simple ways that I've never understood, and it was a thing that I did throughout my career that I learned from guys, was go with no sign. Have a relationship with your catcher. You and your catcher have eye contact with each other. That minute that hitter looks down to the third base coach or somebody, have some sort of touch sign on your body, where you rest your glove, how you stand facing them, where you look, things you can do. And when that catcher just gives you a nod back, why do we need to put down a sign? That's the thing. Have a meeting and go up there and go fastball down and away, slider down and away, fastball down and away, and go from there. Well, I just don't understand why it gets so complex. You can throw seven signs out there and, you know, touch your chest guard, your knee guard, go touch it to let you know which sign. To me, that just seems like there's a much more easy solution, and that's to have that kind of that really good relationship with your battery mate to be able to have some sort of plan that way.
It seems like everybody's quick to jump on the Houston Astros because of what happened in the playoffs. But are we naive to think that there's got to be more teams that have been doing this? There's probably teams destroying software right now, aren't they? They can't be the only team.
No, I don't think they're. I don't believe they're the only team. I mean, what's crazy when I looked at it was the splits, the home road splits during the 2017 playoffs were pretty remarkable. I mean, you're talking about guys hitting, you know, 450 at home and 110 on the road. So it definitely played a factor. But there's got to be other teams out there that are or have been and are in mad panic mode, because it's not something you see usually when guys play on teams. It's, you know, they kind of keep stuff hush hush. It's about winning, but somebody decided they want to say something, and then somebody else did, and somebody else did, and then you realize that, like, especially in today's world with technology, there's cameras on you all the time, and they're going to catch everything, and they're going to find video, and they're going to find instances where they can back up that information, like they're doing there. So it's pretty crazy. See, the one thing I would always just do, and it's always a safe bet, is if you feel like somebody's, you know, kind of like tipping the pitches in from second base, you call your catcher out, you say, hey, call a slider down and away, and I'm going to throw a fastball in his ribs. And then when you do that, they just stop doing that because you don't want to get hurt when you're up there. It's a simple fix.
Yeah, that would send a pretty quick message. Here's an idea. Tell that guy in right field with the computer, I can't hit him, but I can hit you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It stops it real quick. If you feel that way and you feel like that's a legitimate thing, hey, you know, we're going to go with this instead. And, you know, if you're going to cheat, then I'm going to have to do something, you know, because I'm out here trying to, like, make a livelihood of myself, too, and have a career. And if you're going to use technology to funnel stuff down to the dugout, then we're going to make it a little fun game of see how fast you don't want to do that anymore.
Well, how would you feel about this being your own team? Like, we presume that if Houston was doing this, everyone knew about it. Mike Fiers is quoted in the piece. He was pitching for the team. He's like, yeah, we knew. Like, would you feel uneasy, or would you have the take that, hey, everyone's trying to get an edge and probably every other team is doing it, and hey, this might help me win some more ball games?
No, I'd feel uneasy with the technology aspect. I'm cool with the technology as far as watching video and finding things out. Like, you know, you can take my delivery, and you could ghost me in three ways. You could do kind of shadow imaging, me throwing a fastball, me throwing a slider, and me throwing a split finger fastball. And then you can overlap all three of those and sit there and go, whoa, hold on a second, guys. Look, on his slider, his hands are way down here. You know, on his fastball, they're up at his face. And that kind of stuff is cool. But once the game starts, that's your job to remember that information when you go out there. If you can't remember it, that's too bad on you. It should be completely unfair, and I hope there's some repercussions for it, because you shouldn't be using technology like that within the game. So before the game, fine. After the game, cool. In your preparation, when you're scouting, fine. During the game, play the game the way it's supposed to be played.
Do you think if this comes out, like MLB is now, they're going to launch an investigation, and Houston is claiming that they're going to be fully involved and fully transparent. If it turns out that this story is accurate, it was happening, does it tarnish the reputation of the Astros? And if so, how much?
Possibly. Yeah, I mean, there's going to be people who are going to question them winning in 2017. and the things that they've done in subsequent years is, and even before leading up, because it's like, well, I mean, you were sitting here and playing with the cheat codes. You're playing the video games with the cheat codes. So how much, I don't know, but it's going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out for sure.
Always appreciate the time, Ryan. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Have a great night.
Ryan Dempster, longtime MLB pitcher, MLB network analyst from British Columbia.
I don't know what you guys think, but seeing the guys on the iPads, and I know it's 20 years after I play, but I just think it's just, it seems goofy. I know you might be watching a shift, but I just think the natural element of the game, if you want to go in between periods and have video there or an iPad in there, but the iPads and the bench, I just find it be goofy looking.
It's a little much, but you know what our iPad was?
But that's just the way it was.
Yeah, but you know what our iPad was? Was a Jumbotron. The minute that a puck went in, and I knew exactly what happened, but if for some reason I'd be like, how did that go in? Like, what? Like, you look at the replay, that was my iPad. Immediately you could figure it out. Oh, it hit that guy, or I was out to lunch, or, mm-hmm. you know, that type of stuff. Like, nowadays, all they've done is taken that Jumbotron instead of looking it up and go, here it is. Or you punch in that shift and be like, how much time did I actually have to get to the middle of the ice there? Things are so fast. But it is, I know people talk about pro sports being overcoached. It doesn't start at the pro level. I was talking to my brother last night. He was talking about minor hockey where he lives out in Vancouver. Like, well, it's like even 6 and 7 year olds.
Oh, yeah. Like, coaches in the NHL. It's like they got to have a head coach, two former head coaches, and then some other guy on the bench with them.
Yeah.
And then still a guy upstairs to tell you what they should review, what they shouldn't review. Yeah, I would be thinking more along the lines of it being kind of an addiction and your head not being in the game. Like, I could picture after every shift an obsession, like, I got to see my shift, as opposed to just putting the shift behind you and saying, start focusing on the next shift.
Yeah, and it ultimately might turn into a negative where it's like, I got to watch that, and then it's like, sometimes to just say, you know what, screw that, let's go.
You start overthinking, but the minute you start to think, you're not reacting, and you're slow to the play.
Exactly.
Like, I don't mind looking after a period. After a period, like when I was doing video and stuff, you call somebody in and be like, this is what you guys are doing on the power play. Like, this is what they're doing. Your tactical advantage, just what Ryan was talking about. But in real time, like, that could mess with your psyche
absolutely.
A little bit.
Absolutely.
Especially if you're having a ridiculously awful game.
Every shift, you're going back, you're like, I can't believe I made that play. I could have done this. I could have done that. And that's the last thing you want.
You know what those Jumbotron or the iPads were in our day was the coach in your ear.
He'd let you know exactly what he saw.
The defensive coach or the offensive coach going, hey, you know, you got more time there. Now he tells you it and you see it. It's almost overkill.
Yeah. We have a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs Avalanche on December 4th. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you will have the chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue: this player was drafted and signed by the Bruins, but never took the ice for them at the NHL level. Drafted and signed by the Bruins, but never actually played for the Bruins in the NHL. Very interesting clue. I like it. Cameron Hughes will join us in about 10 minutes. A professional fan. Gets paid a lot of money to show up and just be a crazy fan.
By all accounts, he's from Ottawa.
That's what it sounds like. We got some supporters in the building.
Yes.
So we'll get to the bottom of his story. Leafs in action tonight. Raptors in action tonight. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050. All right, so we have 9 more weeks of giveaways for TSN 1050 Superfan Spring Break, an ultimate hockey vacation from bookseats.com. Join the Leafs as they head down to Tampa in Florida in the Sunshine State, including round-trip flights, 4 nights accommodations, and tickets to the game on February 25th and the 27th. To enter, you follow us on Instagram at TSN 1050 and at bookseats.com. Find our latest Superfan Spring Break post and tag your travel buddy. And on Friday, tune into Overdrive, and we will announce the latest winner. Visit tsn1050.ca for all the details. Bookseats.com, custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world, simplifying the way fans travel. Leafs Islanders tonight at Nassau Coliseum, so the old barn down there on Long Island, won't be nearly as bombastic and vitriolic as it was a year ago when Tavares returned for the first time.
We should track that.
Some juice.
It's going to have some toxicity, but how much?
I think a lot.
If it was 100 last time, which was the highest.
85.
50.
You think half? No, I'm going to say 75.
You know how big, how crazy that was when he went back for the first time? They were tailgating all day. Everyone was there for warm-up. They were throwing things at him, yelling at him, calling him a rat every time he stepped on the ice.
Oh, so what, they're going to start cheering him now?
No, but 50% is still crazy. But
Grappler, you'll decide tomorrow who was right.
I think 50% might be pushing it.
80, I'm no, 85. No, no. You're
I'm 75. Yeah. Like, I just got a sense from talking to people there in the building, like, last week.
Buddy, he used to play there, and I used to play in that building. Those people are not happy, and they're not just going to say, oh, yeah, welcome back, John.
No, I'm not
I get the
tailgating
stuff.
I'm
they're not
going to
be tailgating today and all that, but I'm telling you, the volume and the craziness that they are going to treat JT with will be like, that's where I'm saying 75.
It's, so you're saying closer to that than normal?
Yes.
Or even just kind of cut in half.
Like, you were right. There's not going to be the tailgating and but
the raw emotion.
But when I'm talking warm up here, what time do they play? 7 or 7:30? I think it's 7. The minute he steps on the ice, we're going to find out. Like, it is going to be on. They're
going to boo him. He's their version of Vince Carter. When Vince came back for the first time, it was crazy. It was a build-up all year. Everyone waited for him.
What was the second time Vince came back? That's where I would see.
I don't remember specifically, but it wasn't nearly as much. As he kept going and going and going,
right?
It was like, all right, let's keep booing him. But, I guess we have to.
I think if Vince came back that first time, obviously it's 100. Maybe the second time was 75, and
maybe
the third time 50. I don't know.
But this is the third time. He did come back for a second time late April.
Yeah.
Remember, like, the second or third last game of the year, they were back in New York.
You're right.
It's the third time back.
Now, Babcock tried to downplay it this morning. I'm telling you, I still think it's going to be a loud, loud crowd.
Oh, it will be loud.
On JT.
He's getting booed every time he touches the puck.
Yeah.
But
there won't be like rats thrown on the ice or rats thrown at him.
No, I don't expect that. And I think at some point people are going to be like, man, it's a long game. This guy's going to come back twice a year for the next.
Don't you make yourself sick too? Like, am I going to keep doing this with this guy?
Like, every time I got to find him and boo and stand up and boo? Like, I don't think so. I'm going to sit down and watch
the
game.
They can be. Put it that way.
Oh, I understand their reputation. But as you said, they're 11-0-1 in their last 12. They get their own thing going.
They're fine. Yeah.
What do they care? Like, I understand it. It's a sports hate. I get why they care. But I'm saying it would be so much worse, I think, if the Islanders were, like, the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
He comes back with the C on his jersey. Yeah. Leafs are riding.
Yeah, now they get to chant their own record without him. Right?
That's what they should do.
Which has actually been pretty good. Like,
been better than he's had in Toronto.
I know. I was looking at
their
numbers
today. They won a playoff round. He doesn't want a playoff round here in Toronto.
They've won more. They've generated more points and won a playoff round.
Yeah.
Since the JT has signed here, the Islanders organization has more wins and more playoff.
They've been better.
Yeah. They've been
just
better.
Just straight up better based on the numbers alone. You are what your record tells you you are.
Right.
And they've been better. Not substantially.
No, but
they didn't
win
a cup or anything like that.
No.
And he also wouldn't, anyone suggesting he would like to go back and redo it, no chance. He's the captain now here.
Yeah.
He made his decision, but I do think if you got him in a candid moment, he'd say, I'm a little surprised they've been so good without me. That is for sure.
And here's the other thing, too. Like, Lou, the minute that he didn't sign with the Islanders, Lou was done with him.
See, yeah, we're moving on, which
That's
is
fine.
Smart practice.
Like, they didn't put their tail between their legs or anything. That was it. They were done with him. And I thought Lou had some sort of a backhanded comment, or maybe Anders Lee. Remember there was
Lou said effectively, hey, great player, but never won anything here.
Yeah, they haven't won anything
great. He
here.
He made a point of saying individual success, individual accolades, but as far as the team success, nothing.
And you know what Lou is all about, team. Like, he doesn't care about the individual success. Now, Lou's built that team the way he wants it. whether you like it or not.
Absolutely. He's the GM.
He has a functioning tough guy on that team as well, Ross Johnston.
Well, and Matt Martin's injured now.
Right, he's injured.
But
like Cizikas and Clutterbuck run around.
Yeah.
Like Komarov, I think, is close to playing. I don't know if he's playing tonight. But, like, they've got some irritability on that team, too. Like, he's got some throwback players. It may not look like that because those throwback players actually, you know, play regular shifts.
Well, Clutterbuck's a good example. Like, he can skate.
Cizikas, too, man.
Yeah, they can skate.
Can move.
And they chip in a little bit. They're not a huge liability. They're not out there fighting.
No.
They're not dropping their gloves off the draw. But they'll draw you into penalties. They kill penalties.
But Cizikas scored 18 goals 2 years ago. Like, that was their fourth line. Like, Matt Martin, the game he got injured, he hurt his hip or his leg. Cizikas and Clutterbuck fought right away after that. They were pissed. That was his line mate, and it was an accident. The door flew open when he was going to hit somebody. And Clutterbuck was yapping at the bench, saying, like, smarten up, keep your gates closed and all of that. Like, they fought right away. Like, they got irritable. Like, they've got a little bit of everything, that Islander team. So we'll see how it goes.
I like it.
It's good for the Leafs.
I like that. I like the way they play. I like their style. I like, you know. And the Leafs, as we've been saying all afternoon, they are staring down the most difficult three-game stretch they've had all year. With the Islanders tonight, then Boston on Friday, Pittsburgh on Saturday.
Correct.
9 games between now and December 1st, 7 of 9 on the road, 2 back-to-backs, a lot of playoff teams. Outside of Detroit, they're playing, everyone they play is in the playoff hunt or in a playoff spot.
All of these teams are playing. If they want to mail in 25 to 35 minutes of hockey where they're just throwing their sticks out there, you're not going to win.
No, you're not.
Chicago, where you can, they didn't even beat Chicago, where they came back, had an unbelievable third. But the first period cost them. So they want to pull that nonsense in this next month.
That might
be a tough month.
It might be. It's not far off us saying, I don't know if they can get back into it. It's really not. Like, once you play 29 games, like,
you're
that's
right.
Not inconsequential.
No, it's 30. It's 30 games, basically.
No point will it. Even if they go 0-9, they're still going to be in it.
It's been around forever. Bobby Mack always says that when you get to that American Thanksgiving, you have a general idea of what you are. And there's outliers like the St. Louis Blues.
But there's percentages. Like they say, like, you know, this percentage, if you're in the playoffs at this time, like, you know, in the last 10 years, 4 teams have made the playoffs since they were out of the playoffs at American Thanksgiving. I don't know the stat. That's an example.
Right.
Right. So that's where you get to that, the actual numbers, where people who do the numbers dig in and say that's what's happened the last 10, 20 years. So you put yourself in a tough spot if you're on the outside looking in.
It's just a trend. That's what we're talking about. And you're going to be in a division where with Boston, Tampa, Montreal, Florida, and maybe Buffalo, we'll see. I mean, until they prove it, I think there's going to be a lot of skeptical people out there, myself included. But let's throw them into the mix, and let's say they consistently continue to, you know, keep pace and play pretty well. That's 5 teams that, okay, maybe one of them tails off. But 4 of them are probably going to keep chugging and get north of 90 points. So if you put yourself in a position at any point, especially 25-plus games into the season, where you're 4 or 5 points back, that's a big, big challenge to overcome. Because there's 3-point games all the time. There's games within the division.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes very difficult when you put yourself in that position. And on the flip side, if you get yourself 4 or 5 points in, you got some breathing room.
Exactly.
Just keep going. Keep doing what you've been doing.
I agree.
You know, and that's
how about this?
The position they find themselves in. Well, that would be ideal.
As everybody talks about it, the New York Islanders, they can't, like, mail in the rest of the season, but they've already made the playoffs, basically. Like, they just have to play .500 hockey the rest of the way home.
Absolutely. Like, you go 11-0-1?
Yeah, go on a heater and then figure out your business, what your roster, any kind of moves that you can make, and then you make a run at the playoffs.
Washington's in. The Islanders are probably in.
Yeah.
You know, like, when you consider what they've been able to bank, and we're talking almost 20 games.
It's impressive, though.
It's very impressive.
Yeah, you're right.
And I don't think anybody should be holding their breath that any team is going to do that, But if in September you were expected to be a top 7 or 8 team, it should be a possibility at some point.
Yeah, and it's not about the teams that, like, you can't look at the bottom and say, oh, they can't catch a team at the top. It's hopping over everybody in between.
Exactly.
It's impossible to do. It's impossible to do.
Just in the three-point era, that's what has historically happened.
Yes. Exactly.
You know,
teams chip away, and they get that extra point, and they hang around.
Remember the West?
And you don't pass anybody.
Remember the West last year? There was like 6 teams with a four-point buffer. But if you were on the bottom of that, you had to jump over 5 teams.
And it wasn't going to happen.
And there was no chance. But you're like, nah.
Maybe I can get over 2.
Yeah, you're like, you know what? You're right there. But then they end up playing each other.
Exactly.
Those teams are getting points regardless that night.
That's the way the three-point system works in the NHL.
Yeah,
You know, at this point, by no means, it's not a panic situation for any team in the league outside of the teams that know they're out and knew they were out. Ottawa knows they're out. Detroit knows they're out. I think Jersey has probably concluded they're in big trouble.
Yeah.
That's in the East. Columbus, I don't feel great about Columbus.
Right.
I mean, we know what happened with them in terms of their turnover. That's not to be unexpected. But beyond that,
the thing about
everyone else is in it.
You're right. And the scary part is those guys start
never
to. Yeah, you were close.
Know.
I'm struggling
you
here, man. I'm not going
to
lie.
Never know. But
I am struggling.
Never know.
It was
real
close.
The voice was going off. And we jumped in, though. We tried
to
save you.
No, you did save me.
But
we'll review the tape. Mullen will find it.
But what I'm saying is,
no, we don't need to revisit that.
Some of these teams.
We don't ever need to revisit those types of things on this show. We never do that.
All right.
Some of these teams are not Colorado from year 4 or 5, what, 4 years
in terms
years
of them
ago,
being like
47
horrendous
points. Exactly
no.
They're
going
to get
points.
You might
have just tried to explain that point.
Columbus, I don't feel great about Columbus. I mean, we know what happened with them.
Never know.
Yeah, you got isolated even more. Great about Columbus, I think that was
no, I like it better when you were normal and then you just went off the rails.
I know.
Play it again, Mulse.
Columbus, I don't feel great about Columbus. I mean, we know what happened with them. I was fighting through that, too. I was trying to get to the finish line.
You know how Dregs has that thing where...
I know, like, but Dregs can do it, though.
Yeah, Dregs can almost flat-out puke and then talk for 3 minutes and then wait for a commercial break and then cough his brains out and then be like, I'm ready to go.
Yeah. He's a pro. I am not. I'm not getting into the Hall of Fame.
But you see that comment. Like, did you feel that
No,
comment,
I had no... I'm
like,
just
fine.
Talking, man. I'm like...
It went off the rails.
Feel great about Columbus. Oh, play that one more time. Feel great about Columbus.
It doesn't even sound like you.
I know. It's not human. I sound like frog.
That's awesome.
Anyway, what was I saying? I think I was just going through the standing. It wasn't even that relevant anyway.
No, but you were talking about, the teams that...
There's 5 or 6 teams that are
right
maybe
there.
Done, but then outside of that, everyone's still plugging along.
Exactly.
End of discussion. We got blown off by the super fan. The super fan.
We're trying to pump up a guy that's a fan that takes off his T-shirts.
Yeah.
17 T-shirts in a row, and he flushes our calls.
No. Listen. I should clarify what's happened. So he called me on my personal phone about 2 minutes ago saying... So he's staying at a hotel in Vegas. He had me call the hotel. They put me through to the wrong room. So he called my personal cell to apologize. But by the time he gave me a call, it was
a
little bit late in the segment. So
that's great.
Too bad.
That's too bad. We were going to give him some love. But it's not his fault. Technically, it's the Grapplers.
It was the Hard Rock Hotel in Vegas. Let's be clear.
Yeah, let's bury them. It could be fake news. He could be at the tables and the old. Yeah,
I forgot
about that.
Bernie Lomax right now.
What if he just gooned?
What's he doing in Vegas? Is he are the Golden Knights playing tonight? Does he have a gig?
I think he lives out there, if I'm not mistaken.
He's from like the Ottawa area.
Why would he be in a hotel if he lives in Vegas?
That's a good question.
Yeah, that was a bad answer.
I didn't think that
you sound like a guy that's guilty and you're being questioned.
Yeah,
exactly. You're just
I can show you a cell if you want. Like we can really get into this if we want.
No, I don't really care enough. I mean, it's his story. We were going to give him a big platform to talk about his story, but
we were going to get him hired the next 40 days in a row. But
yeah, he's out.
No, we're going to get him in studio.
He's at his hotel room where he lives.
Yeah, he lives in Vegas, but he's staying at the Hard Rock.
And he's crushed, lying on his floor. Hey, Columbus!
It wouldn't be a bad thing, though. If you lived in Vegas off the strip and you're like, you know what? I'm going in to just get gooned. I'll just stay at a hotel.
Well, that does happen.
No kidding.
Like, you live in the burbs. I live in the burbs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're like, oh, I'm going to get a hotel downtown Toronto because I'm going to be... Lomaxed.
I have done that before, very rarely. I've only done it a couple of times, but I'm like, you know what? You know, for whatever reason, I'm downtown. Maybe the weather isn't going to be great.
Right.
But Vegas on a Wednesday?
Well, it's Vegas.
At 3:30 in the afternoon?
Yeah. Honey, I'm getting a hotel room on the Strip.
Yeah.
What? No, you're not.
I don't think so. I'm not buying it.
I will fully admit, the guy that we had on in the 4 o'clock hour, Jason Strudwick, I've been to Vegas with him many years ago. 3:30 in the afternoon, security had to come down and say, you got to go to your room or you got to leave the hotel.
Right, because he's at the tables causing
a
scene.
No, he was at the pool wading through and knocking people off floaties, and he was out to lunch.
That pool is a cesspool.
Yes.
To see a pool party in Vegas, it really is disgusting.
Yeah.
It's just
and there was like, what?
I like going up to people saying, I watched you had 24 beers.
Yeah, you haven't left the pool once.
Yeah. What, do you never have to take a leak?
You walk in at noon.
It's fine if you can't find water.
It's all been collected by human beings.
But it's fine if you're in the waiting pool up to maybe your stomach or something. I watch people go underneath, and the water's in their mouth, and they spit it back out.
Right.
That is...
But those guys are probably 25 beers deep, and they don't care. Right.
But I'm saying 3:30 in the afternoon, any time in Vegas.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Yeah, 3:30 is, midnight on a Saturday night in Toronto.
It could be deep.
All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by Proline. Jerry's After Dark. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
Welcome to Jerry's After Dark, where all of your wildest hot takes come to life. Because Jerry's always in the mood for one more, and you know exactly what I'm talking about.
One more
horny hot take.
Yes.
McDavid and Draisaitl will combine for at least 230 points.
Those two sons of just score 4 points a game. For fun.
230.
Oof. 230 combined. They're both on pace to smash that. Like, they're on pace for like 140 points.
I know, but
it's not going to happen.
I'm thinking there's going to be a market correction,
for
and
sure,
I'm going to go 35% chance of that happening.
130. So, yeah, I'm a little bit lower. 22%. You think McDavid could get 125 points and then Draisaitl get 105?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I expect McDavid to get 125. Expect. Do you understand?
I heard you.
80%.
Jesus.
I don't know why I'm so pissed off.
It's like I'm some kind of repairman. I just didn't do a good enough job.
I know.
Yeah, I'm expecting a lot more out of you.
I'm expecting... What did I say, 85%?
What did I say, 20-something?
We should have said 30, because our boy Gino Retta has been a TSM for 30 years.
Wow.
Legend.
Shout out to Gino. If he doesn't grow the stash back.
Yeah, he should.
That's an injustice.
Stash. Gino Retta. There should be a Gino Retta anniversary T-shirt that he wears, and it's just a giant mustache.
Everyone gets them. You know the coffee mug he used to have? Mm-hmm. Everyone at TSN should get a T-shirt with that picture.
I agree. Yeah,
make
I think it's going to happen.
Tomorrow, whoever can.
Today's poll question brought to you by JerseyFactory.com. So the Spengler Cup is, Gretzky didn't take that job as the head coach. And you were throwing your hat in the ring, I believe, earlier today on Twitter, I guess. Why not? So we're asking people, what do you think O-Dog would be best suited for? Coaching Canada at the Spengler Cup, the mayor of Collingwood, which is winning with 47%. Or the GM of an American Hockey League team down in Florida.
Oh,
no,
Palm Springs.
Or in California.
Palm Springs.
Yeah. I would.
If you can't be the GM of an American League team, come on. You basically.
I got to say, I think the head coach of the Spengler Cup, I think.
No, I could do this.
You've been on a bench many times.
Yeah, but running
it's a short tournament.
Sean Burke's your boy.
Yeah, and you rely on the assistants.
Rely on the assistants.
All you got to do is change the lines.
Yeah, hey, you're a motivator.
Yeah,
you're a motivator. You talk to the media and you're out of there.
That's it. That is it.
Yeah, I think you could do it.
I think you just talk to you address the team before the game and after the game and then let the assistants run the bench.
Although, as the coach, I would be like, have you ever seen the media members? As soon as the final buzzer goes, they have a little travel bag and they're running out the front door of the rink. That would be me as a coach.
No post-game presser?
No. assistants, I give you the response. Unlike some other coaches who don't want to hear their assistants talk, you talk every night.
You're just a front.
He would be the coach from Switzerland.
Yeah. You'd have no faith
faster,
in your dad.
They're bigger, they're stronger, they can shoot better, they can pass better, they can do everything better.
Everything better.
Put a Canadian accent on that and a can of beans, and that's the O-Dog.
Yeah, that's...
The poll question brought to you by JerseyFactory.com. Custom team uniforms and logos at prices to suit any budget. Play like a pro, look like a pro. JerseyFactory.com. Leafs Raptors in action tonight. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Loving the NBA board tonight. I'm on Orlando minus one at Philly, or against Philly at home. Philly played last night. They barely won. I'm on Orlando tonight. I think Houston makes a statement against the Clippers. They're at home. This is the kind of game in November that is meaningless, where Westbrook and Harden will go off for 40 each.
Yeah.
Kawhi won't even pay attention. He's probably not even in Houston. And he'll say, I'll see you in the playoffs, and I'll dummy you.
Yeah.
And the Lakers lay a beating on Golden State tonight. Throw down 20, you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. ProLine, get way into the game. All right, Leafs at the Islanders tonight. Yep. Raptors at Portland. Feel better about the Raptors tonight, but at some point, man, the Leafs have got to, you know, they got to step up and win a tough game where they are underdogs, and that is tonight.
Yeah.
The Islanders have not lost a game in like a month.
Yeah, they got to, I mean.
The house will be crazy.
They just can't mail in. They're going to have a 4 or 5 minute segment that things aren't going well, where they're getting dummied in their own zone. But it can't be a period or a period and a half.
Be the better team.
That's it.
You know what they can do?
Don't rely on Freddie either.
How about have a great start and build on
it? How many times do they get the first goal scored against them? Or you're like, what are we in for tonight?
Yeah,
like many times.
A big start on the road in New York could quiet the crowd down a little bit, maybe allow you to get rolling. Like, that's something I would be focused on.
Like, give it a shot going into the first period, going into the locker room after the first. Give it a shot going in up to nothing.
Yeah,
give
feel
it a
good shot. About yourself early.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then see how it goes.
Yeah. And I think, you know, if you're a fan of the team, you're always going to support the team. But you want to be proud of this team. You want to feel good about this team. You want to be like, all right, they're going to do something for me here. Let's go. Starts tonight. I expect a better performance. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
Join us.
Scarborough Nissan is one of the largest volume Nissan dealers in the GTA. And they'd like to thank their customers for the continued support during the construction on Eglinton. Come on in. They're open.
The Nissan Clearout sales event is on now. Lease the 2019 Qashqai S for zero down from $279 a month at 3.6% APR for 64 months. Includes $300 bonus cash.
Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. Visit them on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Ave. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout sales event is on. Lease the 2019 Qashqai S for zero down from $279 a month at 3.6% APR for 64 months. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.